1. The new star of law enforcement. There is no hunting like the hunting of man, and those who have hunted armed men long enough and liked it never care for anything else thereafter. Ernest Hemingway, On the Blue Water, Esquire, April 1936. Deputy U.S. Marshal Harry Lane was tipped by one of his informants that a fugitive wanted for attempted murder was hiding in a building in the College Hill section of Tampa, Florida, although the informant did not know exactly which apartment. Just before dawn the next morning, Lane, his partner, and several officers from the Tampa Police Department were moving cautiously into the projects when a female officer screamed, "There he goes! There he goes! He's running!" Lane started chasing him into the night. He remembers, "I was running real hard, but in the dark I couldn't really see where I was going. That happens, but you don't think about it. The adrenaline kicks in and you keep going." The fugitive and the police officer ran through a backyard right under a metal clothesline, but I didn't see it. I'm 6'3", much taller than them. That clothesline caught me right under my nose and snapped me backward. My legs went out from under me and I hit the ground hard. It almost took my head off. I was bleeding from both corners of my mouth and my gums, but I got up and kept going. We finally caught the guy, but he wasn't our suspect. He said he just saw people approaching the building with guns drawn and took off. He had his own reasons, but he did know exactly which apartment our fugitive was staying in. Lane's team went to that apartment and knocked on the door, hard. A woman answered and told us he wasn't there. "Okay," I told her, "we'll just take a look." I found him fast asleep in a bedroom. I had my gun out and I nudged him with my flashlight and told him, "Wake your ass up." He opened his eyes and looked up at me. Blood was dripping from the corners of my mouth onto my chin and vest. My face was probably bright red from running. His eyes opened wider with awe and fear as he realized what was going on. "Holy shit," he said. "It's Dracula." I said to him, "If you don't want to start bleeding, motherfucker, show me your hands, now!" Deputy Marshals Mike Bunk and Jerry Lowry went to San Juan to help set up the Puerto Rican Task Force, which was run by the U.S. Marshals Service but was composed of personnel from a variety of participating federal and local law enforcement agencies. When the DEA learned Bunk was going to San Juan, they requested that he look for a fugitive who had fled there from Tallahassee, Florida. Bunk recalls, "We had an address, but when we hit the house, he was gone. We knew where his girlfriend lived, so Jerry Lowry and I went over there to take a look. When we got there, she was loading up her car like she was leaving. We knew that she had a daughter with the fugitive, and there was a young child in the car with her. We assumed this was the fugitive's child and suspected she was going to meet him. We started following her. I had never been to Puerto Rico before and had no idea where I was going, so I immediately got totally lost. Losing her like that really irritated the two of us, so we started focusing on this case. We were determined to catch this guy. The girl would come and go, and we really believed she was visiting him, but we couldn't catch them together. Finally, I had an idea. I was going to hit him in his macho. I was going to make him jealous. We got her pager number. At that time, when you called a pager, you spoke with an operator who relayed your message. I called and sent this message to her in Spanish. 'Where are you, my love? I miss you.' I didn't sign it. If she actually was with him, I knew that message was going to make him crazy. There was no way he could allow someone to flirt with his girlfriend. That's exactly what happened. Less than an hour after I called it in, my phone started ringing, and it just kept ringing. Between Saturday and Sunday, he called my cell phone more than 200 times. I never answered it. Monday morning, I decided it was time. When I answered it, he immediately started questioning me. I told him, 'Buddy, you got the wrong number. I don't know what you're talking about.' He didn't call again, but that didn't matter. I had his cell phone number. We tracked it to a house, and when we hit the house, he took off running out the back. We ended up chasing him into a deep gully where he was arrested.